You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're having way too much fun between the time that we're on the air. Hey, know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected with your Cleveland Browns at any time and everywhere. Check out the great work of Matt Florjancic, our staff writer, yours truly doing Carucci's Call, my daily column on there, our video features, all kinds of good stuff. And we've got more good stuff for you now. As we promised, we're actually going to flip the order. We're going to do our segment after this. The Friday forecast is going to be done at the bottom of the hour. But right now, because he's with us and he's great to take some time to join us, is our good friend from the Akron Beacon Journal, Nate Ulrich. Nate, a newsy day.
Absolutely.
So start with the fact that Jason Campbell is going to be quarterback for this team. I mean, I look, in the long run, I'm not expecting it to really meaningfully change the outcome of Sunday's game. I think this is a Pats win all the way. I think that's the duh. But when you look at him playing now, coming back from this concussion, at least you're not going to Desperationville with Caleb Haney or Alex Tanny.
Yeah, I think it gives the team a more positive outlook going in. Not that I'm expecting them to pull off the shocking upset on the road against New England, but Devon Bess, Jordan Cameron, guys I talked to after Chud made the announcement today after practice, they were clearly relieved and they're excited about Jason Campbell coming back, a guy they're familiar with, a guy who knows the offense, a guy who's been here all season, as opposed to a guy, and Caleb Haney, no knock on him, got here Tuesday. You know, Alex Tanny got here November 26th, so. We know how limited the offense would have been if one of those guys would have started. Now, hey, the way this season's gone, we could still see one of them on Sunday. But
I was going to say, on the list of keys for this game, Jason Campbell just finishing it, I think, is a key.
Absolutely.
Huge, and key not, for and not a given.
Yeah, to be competitive. As you look at this matchup for the Browns with the Patriots bring pretty much everything you want. Great quarterback. Great offensive line. They've rushed for a touchdown in seven straight games. Tom Brady's got 10 passing touchdowns in his last four. Gronk, they have the air back in Vereen. What's the game plan on defense for the Browns to have some success this week?
Well, I think everything for the Patriots centers around Gronk, and it's there in the numbers, which I'm sure you're well aware of. I mean, before he came back from the surgeries, the offense was, I think, low 20s. I think they're averaging points per game. And,
yep.
And now they're like 35s, mid-30s. In the past four games, and it's all about him. I mean, he opens things up for everyone. I mean, there's a reason why Chud, opened his news conference earlier this week saying this is the best all-around tight end in the league, and that's the kind of respect that Gronk has from players throughout the league and throughout the Browns locker room. There's no doubt about it. I think they got to try to double team him in the red zone, triple team him, do what they can. And that's the problem, though. It certainly opens up other guys or opens up opportunities for other guys. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and he's going to exploit that. But yeah, I would look for DeQuell Jackson, Craig Robertson, and T.J. Ward to give it their best shot at covering the best tight end, all around best tight end in the game.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Tom Brady and pressure. I thought last week was at least a sign of life from a pass rush that had not been given that many signs of life leading up to that Jaguars game. Let's face it, it didn't do enough against, right down the line, Dalton or Roethlisberger.
And zero sacks.
Zero sacks. And really not even, sometimes zero sacks can be deceiving because you're getting other kinds of pressure. They weren't getting the other kinds of pressure. A little more of that against Chad Henne, and yet still not enough, and especially, obviously, on that last drive. So as you look at this game, as you look at this pass rush team, what's your sense now that we know that Desmond Bryant is off of this team for the rest of the year as he recovers from the procedure to deal with an irregular heartbeat? How are you seeing them manufacturing a rush, Nate, on Sunday?
Oh, I think it's going to be the way that Ray Horton's done before, and that's through his scheme. I think he's going to send he's going to send some guys. Hey, Chris Owens had a few sacks maybe two and a half. He's out for the year. Maybe Leon McFadden will get set on some blitzes in his new role. So, I think that's the way they're going to do it. And, you know, the defense, you mentioned that last drive against Jacksonville. DeQuell Jackson talked today, and he said that if you're looking at this game thinking that, you know, we're motivated, that we have something extra from a defensive in the mindset of a defensive team, that we want to rebound and we want to have a better showing and we want to get that taste out of your mouth. He said you hit the nail on the head. So they're definitely looking to have a bounce back after they let the team down. I mean, Ray Horton said it. They're very disappointed. If they're the big-time elite defense that they want to say that they are, then they stopped Jacksonville on that drive. So they failed. That's a major letdown, mm-hmm. a major disappointment, and now they got a chance to try to, you know, get that taste out of their mouth, so to speak. Not going to be easy, though.
Bill Belichick talked to the media. I'm sure you were a part of that call, and seemed to be very effusive in his praise of what this team is doing as an organization, the talent that's on the field, and certainly indicating that he thinks this is a better Cleveland Browns team than he's probably seen in the past. What were your take on his comments? And to somebody who covers this team, even though the record isn't better, do you feel you're looking at an overall better Cleveland Browns team than you have recently?
Well, my take is that there is talent on the team, and he was heaping a lot of praise on Josh Gordon, and obviously...
deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, he's worthy of it. So, just talked about how difficult Josh Gordon is to defend. And you know, let's face it, Mike Lombardi is one of Bill Belichick's friends. They know each other well,
sure.
From their time here, and they've remained close. And Mike Lombardi's son worked for Belichick. He's now Lombardi's son's with the 49ers, but he was on that scouting staff in New England for a while. So, I mean, and these guys are close. He's gonna you know, say that, you know, he knows Mike and that his friend works hard and he thinks he can evaluate talent. Mike's got to prove it, you know. And, you know, I think everyone here in Cleveland is at sitting here at 4-8. I can't say that they're better for sure than they were last year. I can say there are talented guys on this team. But really, the May draft is really going to determine what this new regime is all about.
You know, we mentioned that earlier on the show. And it's not just who they get, but how they go about the process of getting them, what areas are addressed. You know, we could say, well, that's the talented guy at that particular position, highly rated, highly regarded. But is that where the need is? And sitting here right now, I mean, I was at one point this season much more comfortable about this defense as a whole than I am right now, honestly. And I want to see how it finishes out this year. I want to see what sort of effort they put forth on Sunday. I want to see more reminders of why I want to believe in this defense, because if that side of the ball was as set as we thought it was earlier in the year, it gives you more leeway and freedom to do those things, as Nathan said earlier, about the offense, you know, just pile up those spots.
Yeah, and obviously when you look at the positions, you'll find tremendous talent at spots. We keep saying Josh Gordon, you know, Jordan Cameron with a very productive season. You know, these guys are talented, but what you just alluded to reminds me of what Joe Banner said when he hired Mike Lombardi, when he fired Tom Heckert, and it's, hey, you know, there are a lot of GMs who can pick a good player. Can they build a team? Can they put the parts together?
Yep.
You know, you can pick a good player in the top 10 and pad your resume and make you look good because you got that one, you hit it, okay? But are you gonna get the right parts to fit together the right way? And that's what really remains to be seen, because we can see the individual talent at certain positions, but how's it going to fit together? How is it going to translate to success? So far, it's translated to 4 wins. These guys are obviously early, and the new regime is still relatively new. But they've got to. I mean, this May draft is huge. They've got to get it done. They've got to make it happen. And they've got tons of picks to do it.
That's right. It's a massive offseason for the direction of this franchise. One guy who was drafted early in the third round has not made an impact to this point, but could go a long way into helping this defense be shored up, is Leon McFadden. He's expected to play his biggest role now with Chris Owens on IR. And Nate, what's your take under the sense, the team, the confidence in Leon McFadden, Leon's confidence, and how you expect him to perform now that he's in actual duty?
He's confident, because we asked him about Tom Brady the other day. He goes, oh, yeah, that's a challenge, but I'm going to take care of that task. Something along those lines might have really caught my attention, because here's a guy who hasn't really played a significant amount of reps in the NFL, and he's talking about handling Tom Brady. Ray Horton said that Leon McFadden earned his trust. And I remember early in the season, Ray saying that he didn't have that trust at that point, and he said, you know, he's a rookie. I will play him if he lets me play him, okay? So we're at the point now where he's going to play because four games are left. They got to see what they have in him, and Chris Owens is out with an injury, obviously, so Leon's going to fill in that nickel corner spot. Now, let's not forget, he did battle that, I think it was a groin injury in the preseason, and he took some lumps in the preseason, okay? He got beat in coverage more than a couple times. So,
Chicago game, yep.
Yeah, and I want to see, has he gotten better since then? Because I really don't know. I cannot answer that question. I haven't seen him enough, and nobody has, unless, you know, you're the coaches who are watching all the practice time, and, you know, we're not allowed to. So it'll be a new experience for me seeing him out there and for everyone else, and we'll see how he's grown.
When we think about how this game can go, and the worst-case scenario of how it can go is just that. It could be maybe as bad a loss as the Browns have suffered this year. It could be. And I'm not trying to do the whole downer thing on this, but I'm asking you from an attitude standpoint, the mentality standpoint, as this team enters into the four remaining four games and knowing what you do, being around these players as regularly as you are, what's your thought about how they can handle things sort of psychologically through this remainder part of the season?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously, they not long ago, they were clinging to the hope that they could make a push in the playoffs or make a push to get to the playoffs, and that has disappeared. That's vanished, obviously. But I think that, you know, DeQuell Jackson, Joe Hayden, guys like that understand that, you know, there's always something to play for in the NFL, even when the playoffs aren't on the table. And that is, you know, that's another Joe Thomas. You know, these guys have told me that, you know, when you're winning, the tendency of the GM, the tendency of the CEO of the regime is to keep the parts in place because things are obviously working. When you're losing, it is audition time for everyone.
Yep.
Okay, so that's really what's at stake for all these guys, and I think that's a good attitude to have because there's still something to fight for. DeQuell said, like I said earlier, DeQuell was very passionate today about wanting to get that bad taste out of their mouths after the final drive in Jacksonville. So they're still finding things to play for, and that's what you have to do when you're 4-8.
Nate, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks, as always. Right. I appreciate it.
He is Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Wonderful breakdown from him, as we always expect. All right, Friday Forecast is coming up next, another segment that's sweeping the nation here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura and Vic Carucci, yours truly, we will be answering questions from our esteemed producer. His name is Dave DiNatale. He is so good, and he is going to break it all down. And Carly McCord's here tweeting all the way through, so we got the A-team involved with this show, and we've got more coming up for you on CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR.